This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, March 15th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, a look at a building that's being built by the wood destroyed by the emerald ash borer. It's also used as a way to teach about the exotic pest. Also coming up, a forecast from meteorologist Ted Kieser. First, a look at today's news. A state regulatory board is taking Ameren to task for making threats to cut back services and lay off workers. The Illinois Commerce Commission says the utility company should have enough money to cover its operating costs without resorting to those measures. Amanda Vinicky reports.
Ameren projected doomsday scenarios would take effect if its bond rating slipped. Earlier this week, that happened, citing lawmakers' support for measures that would force Ameren to roll back what it charges for electricity. A credit ratings agency downgraded Ameren to junk bond status. The Illinois Commerce Commission says it's concerned about statements by Ameren about consequences of the downgrade. Spokeswoman Beth Bosch says given that Ameren has nearly $100 million of new revenue, the commission wants to know,
why do they need to do such things as lay off customers or postpone tree trimming?
Bosch says the company could instead give out less stock dividends or pay its executives less. The commission also wants the company to provide copies of any communication between it and credit ratings agencies. A spokesman says Ameren is reviewing the ICC's complaint. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
The state attorney general's office plans no further action on a request by a state senator to determine whether the University of Illinois broke any laws when it retired Chief Alinowick. This week, university trustees voted to ratify a decision that was first made last month. Felony theft and official misconduct charges await the McLean County clerk. Peggy Ann Milton turned herself in yesterday after a grand jury indicted her. She's accused of stealing postage stamps from the county for a charity event and using an employee on county time to pick up her daughter from school. Milton's attorney calls the charges insignificant, though the possible sentences include prison time. A Central Illinois farmers group says the University of Illinois' cash rent policy on the farmland it owns is taking its toll. AM 580's Jeff Bossert explains.
Robert Clem is a Waynesville farmer and spokesperson for Farmers Supporting Independent Agriculture. He told the U of I's Board of Trustees Tuesday that farmers who rent from the university collectively pay more than $1 million a year.
The university has a proud land grant tradition, and the current high cash rent policy is damaging this legacy by threatening the soundness of the university-owned farmland and sowing ill will among farmers and community members.
Clem says the competitive bidding process introduced by the university last year ultimately hurts farmers' income. He says it forces them to spend less on fertilizer and other supplies. Doug Beckman is a vice president of business and finance at the U of I.
What we've tried to do is communicate. We understand that not everybody's going to agree with us, but one thing we can do is clearly communicate what we're trying to do, and we don't want to catch people by surprise, and so that's what we've been trying to do.
Beckman says he expects a meeting with Clem's group soon. He says the university is not trying to drive any farmer out of business, but notes the goal of this process is to secure a higher income stream for the U of I. Beckman admits a portion of the risk for running the farmland has been shifted to the operator. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
The schools that teach tomorrow's healthcare professionals in the state say they need much more money to turn around a shortage of doctors, nurses, and dentists. University of Illinois trustee Dr. Ken Schmidt says its medical school, as well as the medical and nursing schools at Southern Illinois, Chicago State, and other universities, need a stream of revenue separate from general higher education funding.
We have the capacity to produce, the capacity to increase production, more than enough qualified applicants to fill spots if we do expand. And when they train them, they stay in Illinois. These are all compelling reasons we feel that we should become the state's major partner in planning the healthcare access issues for the next 20, 30, 40, 50 years.
The schools are assembling a so-called Illinois Bill of Health to offer lawmakers and the Blagojevich administration an outline of schools' needs. Schmidt says facilities at the U of I Chicago campus alone need upwards of $120 million to ramp up facilities. Which township a large part of southwest Champaign should be in will be decided by a judge. Champaign Township has filed a lawsuit over whether territory annexed into the city of Champaign should be in the city's own township as well. The Champaign County Board voted in January to move that territory from the rural Champaign Township to the urban city of Champaign Township. Champaign Township Supervisor John Schmidt says the territory makes up 22% of their property tax base, and losing it to the city's township is a big blow to their operations.
We've been in a mode for 6-7 years now of reducing our tax levy each year over the prior year on the basis that we're not going to lose large amounts of our tax base, and that's to the benefit of the taxpayer. And now our future is uncertain. If we lose 22% of our revenue, there's going to be a drastic reduction in services.
Schmidt argues the county board's vote to redraw the boundaries goes against the wishes of Champaign Township voters, but city officials argue that it's unfair to make residents of the annexed territory pay Champaign Township taxes because that township no longer provides road and highway services now provided by the city. An emergency order from federal officials could give the Decatur Airport the relief it's seeking at the end of the month. Regions Air, which provides service to St. Louis, was grounded last week, a week over concerns about pilot training. U.S. Senator Dick Durbin sought the order, saying there's no guarantee the air carrier will resume operations. On March 29th, the airport will learn how many carriers have made proposals to replace Regions Air. That's when the order from the U.S. Department of Transportation completes its process. Bill Clevenger is the executive director of the Decatur Park District, which owns the airport. He says the timing of the airline's problems couldn't have been any worse.
Our greater Decatur area travelers have supported the airport. We just initiated service to Chicago Midway, and things were looking very favorable for us. We have intended to hold Regions accountable for their lack of performance.
Clevenger says securing a new carrier is a matter of how quickly one can reallocate finances to serve Central Illinois. For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Ash trees are dying by the millions because of an infestation of a foreign bug. In one town in Michigan, they're using the dead wood to help build a library. Lester Graham of the Environment Report tells us the wood beams and flooring will be a permanent exhibit to remind visitors of the trees that were once there and the cost of imported pests.
Andy, Rex, step up. Step easy.
Craig Novotny is driving a team of black draft horses, some young Percherons, through a woodlot. They're dragging a pretty good-sized log out into the open to be trucked away and turned into lumber. They could have used a bulldozer to do this job, but that would have damaged a lot of the other trees in these woods.
It's a lot less impact on the forest floor. You don't ruin near as much stuff, you know, getting it out with horses. It's a kind of a lighter approach to it.
60 ash trees have been cut down on this 4-acre piece of land. They were all dead, killed by a bug called the emerald ash borer. The wood from these dead trees will be used to make flooring, wood trim, and to be support beams for a new branch library. The architects knew they wanted to use ash as a way of reminding people of this disappearing natural resource, but it was the flooring contractor who suggested the ash wood they needed was on the very property where the library is to be built. John Yurima owns Johnson Hardwood Floors.
We were originally came out to look at flooring and ash, and then when we told them that we could use this material off the site, they were excited.
Rather than just flooring, Yurima suggested the architects use the dead ash trees for some of the structure of the building so that people could see the damage the emerald ash borer had done, a sort of permanent exhibit.
One wall, it's a 90-foot wall facing the woods, all glass. So in front of that, we're going to have emerald ash borer killed trees supporting that wall.
The trees will still bear the marks of the damage done by the bug. The ash tree is a popular tree, but like this place where they're chopping down the trees, city after city has had to cut down all of their ash trees in an effort to stop the spread of the emerald ash borer. Despite efforts to quarantine infested areas, the emerald ash borer is spreading. It was first detected in Michigan in 2002. It probably came here in shipping crates from China. The pest has already spread to a half dozen other states and Ontario. The bug is being spread in part by people hauling firewood with them on vacation and hunting trips, and in some cases by nursery stock being shipped out of the area. Josie Parker is the director of the library district in Ann Arbor, Michigan, where this new branch library is being built.
Because it's a public building, it will tell the story of what can happen and did when there's an infestation. This building will always be here. The emerald ash borer tracings will be evident in the wood, so we'll be able to explain science classes and anyone interested what happened to the ash trees and why we need to be more careful about insect infestations.
A lot of the dead ash has been cut up for firewood, but some people have felt that the wood shouldn't be wasted like that. It should be preserved somehow. John Urema says it makes him sad seeing the ash tree disappear, but he likes the idea of using these ash trees in a way that might serve as a lesson.
It's nice in the sense that it's in an educational facility and not chopped up into firewood. So in that way, you feel better than burning it in the fireplace. If we can make a statement and maybe a child will look at it and say, you know, wow, this is, because 40 years, there aren't going to be any. The only ash trees that'll be around will be on the flooring, the wall, the ceiling, and in the structure. I think we just all need to open our eyes and hope for the best, I guess.
For the Environment Report, this is Lester Graham.
The Environment Report is a production of Michigan Radio. Support comes from the Joyce Foundation, the George Gund Foundation, and USDA's Cooperative Extension Service. You can learn more about Environment Report stories and subscribe to weekly podcasts at environmentreport.org.
It's a lot cooler now than it was yesterday and the day before, and our meteorologist Ed Kieser says we'll stay on the cool side for the next few days. Our forecast for the northern parts of Illinois and Indiana and in central Illinois, mostly cloudy, windy, and cool. In central Indiana, cloudy with some scattered showers in the morning. In the south, lingering periods of rain, cloudy, and turning colder. The highs from 38 in the north to 58 in far southern Illinois. Cloudy across the two states tonight, lows ranging from around 20 degrees in far northern Illinois to 35 in the south. And a mix of clouds and sunshine for tomorrow, the highs from 38 in the north to 54 in far southern Illinois. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, March 15th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.